Bueno, pues Manifesta 8 está ya abierta al público y esta Bienal Europea del Arte Contemporáneo.
Da Murcia e Cartagena, lo speciale di Radio Papesse. Manifesta 8.
My name is John Kennedy. I'm a psychologist. I do research on perception. I'm at the University of Toronto. I've been working for some time with blind people, blind children, blind adults, asking them to draw to see what happens when they explore the medium of pictures. So I say to them, take up thy pen and draw. And they say, I can't draw. I'm blind. And I say, well, try. And they start and they say, hey, I can do this. And then an occasional blind person is somebody who, as a child, wanted to draw, and their parents said, you know, you can't draw, you're blind. And they said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And they do, and they just persist, and they keep at it. And Eşref Armağan is a blind man from Turkey who started drawing as a child. You know, he was drawing on the furniture and drawing on the walls, and his parents said, hey, Eşref, stop that. We'll give you paper. We'll give you a pencil. And he kept drawing, and he was fascinated by drawing, as many sighted children are. And so he has persisted to this day. He's now in his 50s. And the Chamber of Public Secrets are art curators and realized it is time to introduce the art world, the world of pictures, to the fact that pictures make sense to touch as well as to the eye. And we should have an exhibition of pictures by a blind person who's taken an interest in pictures and in practicing drawing all his life. Eşref started drawing simple line drawings, much like you find in cave art 50,000 years ago, in Altamira, in the Atlas Mountains of North Africa, in Australia, Aboriginal art from 50,000 years ago, perhaps, in Le Chauvet in France from perhaps 30,000 years ago. So as a child, he discovered the medium that the cave artist discovered. You use lines to stand for the edges of surfaces. And surfaces and their edges are perfectly tangible as well as visual. So when a sighted artist discovers line drawing, they discover the same thing as a blind artist discovering line drawing. And a little older, Eşref starts to explore things about how you can show the vantage point of the observer and the perspective of the observer. You know, we confront the fronts of objects. The backs are behind. We can walk around to the side of an object. So if you ask a blind person to draw an insect, they'll draw it from above. If you ask a blind person to draw a dog, they'll draw it from the side. If you ask a blind person to draw an adult, a person, they'll draw it from the front, just like sighted people would. And Eşref mastered all of that. And then he took an interest in this curious fact that things in the distance make a small angle at our observation point. We say in vision, oh, it looks small. We really just mean it makes a small angle at our vantage point. I've often asked blind people to do something like consider standing in the middle of a road with two trees on either side of the road. And I say, point to the trees. And they put their arms out 180 degrees apart. Then I say, okay, point to two trees 10 meters down the road. And they swing their arms forward. Right, so now there's a smaller angle between their arms. Two more trees, 10 meters down the road further. Two more trees, two more trees. Their arms steadily come together. Well, that sense of the directions of objects and how they come together with distance is perspective. So sighted people and blind people understand perspective intuitively, the science of direction. The question is, how do you get it onto a picture? And we muddled our way through that for a long time, for tens of thousands of years in vision, until Brunelleschi in Florence, about 1413, discovered how to do it exactly. So I took Eshref, who had shown some ability with perspective, some ability to show things in the distance are getting smaller, and I took him to the baptistry, the building in Florence, where Brunelleschi discovered perspective. And I said, okay, Eshref, feel the corners of the building. Now, here's a model of the building. Feel this. Okay, now sit here, roughly where Brunelleschi was. And I said, try to draw the building so you show that the roof is high above you. And what he did was he drew the sides of the building converging. That is, the lines for the top of the walls of the building came downwards, and the bottom of the building, he drew a line showing the bottoms are projecting upwards on the picture. That is, he used converging lines, left and right. So he had convergence in two directions. But then he also was considering showing that the roof is high above you. So his sketches show that the walls are converging. That is, the lines for the walls converge upwards on his drawing. Convergence upwards, convergence leftwards, convergence rightwards. That's convergence in three directions. And there are only three directions of space, three dimensions for space. So Eshref can draw in three-point perspective. That means he can draw anything. He has mastered space. Since Brunelleschi, there's been another step, and that step is to draw metaphoric pictures. Eshref can draw a metaphoric world as well as a literal world. If I was to draw a picture of a politician or a university administrator, have them drawn with a very long nose that looks as though it's made out of wood, you would know this is Pinocchio. And you would know, I'm suggesting, you know, these guys are not telling us the whole truth. That's a metaphoric picture. Well, what happened in 1810, Buick in northern England challenged himself to draw a horse and a cart, and they were speeding through a farmyard. And so he wanted to show the cartwheel was in serious, fast motion. But if you draw all the spokes in, it looks as though it's static. The horse is leaping through the air, and the wheel is static. So he started leaving out the ends of the spokes. He started little curved lines inside the wheel, and it looks, you get this message that the wheel is in motion. He started the idea of doing pictures metaphorically, not literally, to show things like wheels in motion, people running, Spider-Man swinging through the streets of New York, Superman speeding through outer space, with all those funny lines behind spaceships and Superman and Spider-Man. Those funny lines are a suggestion of movement. There are no lines in the space behind them. They're metaphoric. They're often actually misunderstood by sighted children looking at them who think, well, there's some sort of cloak or water falling off that person. They're metaphors, and we twig them at the same time as we probably start to, say at 5 or 4, start to understand, my parents are not speaking literally when they say it's raining cats and dogs. Un tempo di cani in Italian. You know, that sort of thing. Those are all metaphors. Well, we can use metaphors in pictures. We can draw objects non-literally. So I asked Eshref to draw wheels in motion. I asked him, for example, for a wobbly wheel. How would you draw a wheel in wobbly motion? So he thought about it, and then he said, oh, yeah. So he drew the ground as a kind of sinusoidy snake shape, up and down, and up and down, and up and down. And he drew two wheels, not as circles, but as tall ellipses, as if in wobbling they had increased their size. And one was actually sort of static looking, and one, the wheels, everything inside the wheel was now just a circle. So you could see it was in motion. But the shape of the ground metaphorically told you it was a wobbly motion. And the strange distorted shape of the wheel told you it was a wobbly motion. So he was metaphorically conveying the motion. And every time I've asked him for something you can't really literally draw, he invents a clever metaphor. So 1810, only 200 years ago, sighted people start inventing metaphoric devices for pictures, and Eshref masters literal depiction, the three dimensions of space, and cracks open the medium of metaphoric communication, and whatever he invents makes sense to the sighted, and I think to the blind too. It's interesting what Eshref has done in 50 years is recapitulate the history of art over 50,000 years. It's extraordinary that he's reinventing each of the big steps in art, cave art, perspective, metaphor. And futurism is indeed about motion and dynamism. And it sort of takes off and expands enormously on Buick's inventions of 1810 and the modest devices of comics. Cubism is drawing multiple perspectives in one picture. I've certainly had blind people who are beginning to draw do things like this. I'm going to draw a table, and I'm going to have two legs coming down from the square for the tabletop, and two legs to the left, and two legs to the right, and two legs up the picture. Because for a blind man, every side from which you approach the picture, the two legs are there. So it sort of looks as though there's eight legs on the table. Eshref doesn't do that. I asked him for a table with four chairs around it. He drew the top of the table with the top of the table converging up the page to show the top recedes from you. And he drew the four chairs, and he drew the nearest chair tucked under the table, and the ones to the side and the back, he drew them as properly overlapped and obscured by the edges of the table. This was a sophisticated drawing that relatively few-sighted people could do. So Eshref is not drawing like people who are beginning to draw. And what Picasso did when he said, I am going to draw in a cubist style, and a cubist style is capturing the way children draw. He was actually drawing the way children drew both the profile and the two eyes, the front face. So you got the nose in profile, and then the two eyes were placed on either side, which is an impossible picture. You wouldn't get that in a photograph. And so he would combine two vantage points. Well, curiously enough, we know that in 1880, in Spain, children drew two-eyed profiles. And they did the same in England, and they did the same in Italy. The two-eyed profile was very common in children's drawings about 1880. And so the cubists were copying children's drawings of their childhood. And nowadays, sighted children in Europe do not use the two-eyed profile. You have to go to somewhere like Egypt to find children drawing the two-eyed profile. It's gone. It's not a stage in drawing. And Picasso's idea that he was actually copying children's drawings was very limited to Europe at the time. It was a very constrained time. And the children were not copying the sort of millions of copies of pictures that children get now. Children now open comics. And pictures are all over the place. Paper, newspaper, comic strips, they're all over the place. Well, the idea that children should have lots and lots of pictures in their life is very recent. It was all started by an Austrian monk only about 150 years ago. Most children's stories weren't illustrated until he came along. And most children were copying a modest variety of pictures they had seen. And often what they were doing is copying pictures that they'd seen drawn on walls. So a young child would look up and see a profile and would look up and see a full-faced view drawn by an older child who was taller. And so the younger child would copy the two pictures that he'd seen above and combine them. And he was inventing a combination of a limited number of pictures that he'd seen. And nowadays, because children have so many examples, they're not copying restricted numbers of things. And they are much freer. And so the two-eyed profile is no longer a common variety of picture. It's gone. You have to go to Egypt and find walls and find children influenced by wall pictures, by graffiti drawn by older children, and then you'll get the two-eyed profile. So Picasso drew like a child of 1880. Eshref is far beyond children's drawings. He's drawing in a highly sophisticated style, the one that's made possible by the kinds of discoveries Brunelleschi made in 1413. And as far as I can tell, Eshref made largely on his own. Blind people can be taught anything, including perspective. They're perfectly smart people. The issue of real interest is when cave artists discovered picturing, were they discovering something the same throughout the world? And all you have to do is look at their pictures, and you don't have to be taught anything. You will immediately see what they've done. This is not something that has to be taught. It's intuitively there. And what you have to do is capitalize on it and use it, not be taught, because it's already in you. What we have to do is give you the opportunity to express it. It's like dance or walking or running. The ability is there. Just seize the opportunity to practice, and you'll run, and you will walk, and you will draw. And most sighted children, of course, just get into drawing spontaneously on their own and love to draw every day. It's sort of a strange thing. Two-year-olds are into drawing. Three-year-olds, four-year-olds, they love drawing, they do it a lot. Then we turn about 11, and most sighted people stop drawing. Teenagers don't draw. So people telling you not to do things, of course, makes you want to do them. Eshref wanted to draw and was told he couldn't. So he said, I'm going to draw. And he's persisted throughout his life, despite everybody saying, well, blind people can't draw. There is that sort of 10% of people, 5%, who just love drawing and persist. And I think it's the same for the blind and the sighted. Some people persist in drawing and love doing it and master it. And what they're doing is expressing things that are already there inside them. How to use line for the edges of surfaces, how to draw in perspective. To some modest degree, I think all blind people can do that. What Eshref has done is practice and push himself and gone beyond any other blind person. He's also so far beyond almost all sighted people. He mastered a few principles in expressing the intuitions we all have. So we all understand his drawings when we look at them, but expressing the same thing ourselves, some extra step has to take place, and Eshref has done that. I've got blind people in Toronto and in New York and in Germany and in Australia who are a step behind or two steps behind Eshref. They're hard on his heels. He is the swallow that tells us about the summer. He's first and foremost, but the others are coming along, and Eshref's example will encourage them to keep going.
Arte da ascoltare.